Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. Honestly, it's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and talk about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's what we're going to hear from Richard in a way that only he can do, with words of hope, insight, and humor. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help get you on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. So let's get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Model Home. A model home is usually perfect, but no one lives in it. There's a house at the State Fair of Texas, if you go over there to the fair, and it was built years and years and years and years ago, and it was supposed to have been the home of the future. The only problem with that model home is it was really just a model house, because it takes people to make a house a home, right? Even one person can make a house a home. And in a minute, we're going to go back to Genesis and kind of plow through a little bit left to right, not completely. But a definition for a model home, a representative house built and shown as advertisement for buyers to build similar homes, so-called show house, spec house, a model unit. So there's something about a model home that you hope someone will see and say, "Ooh, I want one like that." Do you have a model home? Now I'm talking about your home. I'm talking about not your house. Because I've lived long enough, you know, when you're single and it doesn't really matter, people come over to your house, whatever that is. You know, in my case, when I was single, it was a disaster and no one cared because I didn't care. And if you don't want to come over, don't come over, right? You know, this is where I live. If you don't like it, who cares? You get married and then you have a home. And when people come to your home, then things have to be right. You know, there's nothing bad about this, but, you know, you're going to pick the place up. Right? It is going to look right if people are coming over. The holidays, whatever, here it comes, and it's a good thing. Everybody likes a clean house, but a model home is hard to maintain. One thing to get that right. But the truth be known, if we did like spot checks, just random, out of nowhere, come by and walk in on your house and not just see what it looks like on the average, what is going on in that house at any given time, it might not be good. Now, I'm going to take you to the scriptures. And I want you to go, first of all, to Genesis chapter 1. Somehow it is our job as Christians to model home. And it is our job as Christ's family to model home. What does it look like? Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle." And notice it's a them. Let us make man in our image. And they don't even exist. So God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, what's the first thing God says to man when he makes him? "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth." Go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, describes this process. And the Lord God said, "It's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air. Everything out of the ground, even Adam, made from dirt. He brings them to Adam to see what he would call them. Whatever Adam called each of the living things was its name. So Adam gave names to the cattle, the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." Why is that such a big deal? Because even Adam and all the animals are made from dirt. Eve is not made from dirt. "Bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." Interesting that woman was taken out of a man. And from then on, every person comes out of a woman. But the first woman came out of a man. "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." God sets this thing up. Now you read a couple of chapters. In chapter 4, these two are a family. They start having kids. And by chapter 4, Cain kills his brother Abel. Problems. The thing I love about the Bible, sin gets in the picture and the story gets told. There is no hiding the chaos. The Bible has rape, has incest, has everything you can come up with in it that create problems, but it talks about it. This is a family. The family of faith is a family that talks about their issues. When things are healthy, you deal with it God's way and you move forward. So you got challenged in your family, welcome to the family. It doesn't mean you have to die that way. And if God has you single for a reason or just for a season, whatever it is, that's not a bad thing. If you cannot contain, it's better to marry than to burn, but be wise about who you marry or you could be single again. Go to Luke chapter 1. And by the way, when Jesus showed up, the Roman Empire was more messed up than we are. There was stuff going on back then. I mean, at least you don't go to some Texas stadium, Cowboy Stadium, and get all amped up about, oh, I'm going to the stadium today, and I hear that they rounded up a bunch of Christians, and they're going to feed them to some lions today. You got to come, dude. I got tickets. I scalped some tickets. You say, well, that'd be nuts. That's what was going on when Jesus showed up. They're feeding people to lions, to animals for entertainment. The dehumanization of sports is part of the fall of the Roman Empire. So it's going to get worse. It's been worse, and it's coming. But Jesus showed up anyway in the middle of that mayhem and said what he said anyway. It doesn't matter what's going on in the culture. The truth is truth no matter what. So you put it out there, you live it. You say, well, it could get me arrested, it could get me killed. I get that. It got them arrested, it got them killed, but it still works. It changed the world. It is changing the world. Don't back down. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. The sixth month, angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. We don't need Joseph. We don't even need him to get pregnant. It's a virgin birth. Why do we need to complicate it with this Joseph dude? It's even part of prophecy. Just let the single mom be God's mother, raise the kid. That's okay, good, let it be. She already got shamed. All you can do is do the math. They're betrothed, so she's got this bastard kid. You know, it's not good for her. It's not good for Jesus, not even good for Joseph. You married the girl? But why is it packed into the design? Because even Jesus need a daddy. Even Jesus needed a father. Joseph had the task of raising the Son of God. You talk about a stepfather challenge and knew it going in. But God in his plan said, this is what I intend even for my own son. If he's going in there and he's going to be born of a virgin, then he's going to be raised by this family, an intact family. I am not throwing you under the bus. If you're a single mom, a single dad, you've been divorced, you've never been married, you're a baby mama, a baby daddy. I get all that's going on, but God still cares about this stuff. And you just because we have screwed it up doesn't mean there's not a standard anymore, right? You say, well, I'm tired. I'm trying to do the right thing. I'm trying to stay married. I'm trying to fight through all this stuff. Don't quit. Because see, the world doesn't really need model homes that are perfect that no one lives in. What the world needs to see is a real live man, a real live woman with real issues. So you sit down and you talk and you say, well, tell me about your marriage. Well, I've been married 30 years. And we were separated for three of them. And she did this and I did that. And her friends told her, you have the right to be happy. Get rid of him. And we stayed together. We fought it out. We stuck together. We worked it out and we're still together. And they go, wow, that gives me hope. The perfect model home doesn't give screwed up people much hope. It's when they see you make it with Jesus and that's your only answer. They go, I believe I'll give him a shot. Because after marriage number one, number two, number three, the odds of your marriage staying together after number three are like 87% chance of divorce on number three. And they go through the roof after that. Matthew chapter 12, verse 46. Jesus is out there doing his ministry. While he was still talking to the multitude, behold, his mother and brothers stood outside, wanted to talk to him. His family shows up. Then one said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you. But he answered and said to the one who told him, who's my mother and who are my brothers? And it sounds like he's about to get rude and slam his own family. And he stretched out his hand toward the disciples and said, here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Now, it doesn't mean he's denying his own family. He trumps it and says, you want to say you're my family? Well, here's what my family looks like and does. What did he say? Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. You want to be in God's family? You're going to have to figure out a way to do God's will. And you say, well, what if I'm falling off the wagon and I'm not doing his will right now? You can't get out of the family if you're in the family. You got to decide what kind of family member you're going to be. We got plenty of problem kids, troubled kids that were a nightmare in a family or are that right now. You are wreaking havoc in a house. It doesn't mean you're not the child of that mom and dad or that dad, whoever you live with, if they're not both together, but it'd be a lot easier on them and you if you just do the right thing. Do what you're asked to do. And that's how he defines it, his family. He who does the will of my Father in heaven, that's my brother, my sister, my mother. John chapter 19, go there really quick. John 19, 25, Jesus is hanging on the cross about to be dead. And this is what it says. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. These women are standing there looking up. Here's Mary's son hanging naked on a cross and these other women standing there. And Jesus is coherent enough to have a conversation with these women standing there. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, John, he said to his mother, he's taking care of his mom even on the cross. Woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. That's what happens in a church. Another passage talks about pure religion and undefiled is to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep yourself unspotted from the world. Sometimes a woman left by herself walks into a church and this becomes the family. It's what I was saying earlier. We are home to some people. You say, well, I don't want these people in my home. If you don't want me in your home, you are not part of this family. And if I got issue with you being in my home, there's a good chance I got issues. Now, there's some of you I don't trust completely. You say, are you serious? Absolutely, I'm serious. You say, well, that's not very nice. Yeah, but it's really wise. There's some of you I wouldn't bring over to my house and leave prescription medicine that I have in my house where you could get to it. Why would I do that to you? It's not because you're going to take something from me. It's going to mess your life up. That's where you start thinking about somebody else and how being even in your home can affect you. So then you come to church, you go, I can do whatever I want to do. No, you can't. No, you can't. A bunch of guys go watch a cowboy game or something at some restaurant and you say, well, I'm going to order a beer. No big deal. You drink a beer, you don't have any thought to it. You got to think before you do that, even if you say you're comfortable, who is with you? This is a family. And you can mess the entire process up for one guy sitting there going, oh my gosh, I can't drink. If I drink, I'm trying to stay clean. I quit Jack Daniels, my last cigar on Sunday, you know, all that stuff. And so you stop and you think and you look around and you go, ooh, and the Holy Spirit says, don't drink the beer. And you go, what was that? Why did I get a checkup about that? Because there's someone else in the group that matters. This is not complicated. You just got to decide you're going to be part of a family and that we are going to model home for some people. Where they come in and go, I think I'm safe here. These people get me. They listen. They know what my issues are. They're watching out for me. They even say it out loud. They're talking about real things. And then you can maybe make some progress. I got more verses. Let me read you just a few out of Ephesians and then we're almost done. Ephesians chapter 5. I read it at weddings, Ephesians 5, 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife. Dude, I don't care how hot she is. If she doesn't get authority, run for your life. You are in for crazy problems. You say, oh man, but she does this, that. You know what? That's all going to end. She's going to get what she wants, and then she's got you. And then she's going to run that deal the way she wants it run if she doesn't understand authority. You've been entrapped because you're weak sexually or whatever, and some girl, oh, you're this and that, blows in one ear, the air goes out the other because you're such an, you know, brain dead. Is she a Christian? Is she godly? Think for 2 seconds what you're getting yourself into. Find a woman who can submit to you because you're submitted to God, and it's going to work. For the husband is head of the wife, so also Christ is head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. And he goes on to describe it, that relationship. That's modeling home. Ladies, you're single. Go find that man. Find someone that's spiritually hot for a change. Oh, he's so hot. She's so hot. You know how hot they're going to be in about 40 years? Find someone you want to wake up with in 50 years when you can barely move, you can barely get your toes to touch, but you still love each other. And the reason you still love each other is because both of you love him more than you love each other, and that's what makes it work. You say, well, here you go talking about marriage and I'm single. You may not be single. Thank God you're single if you're single. You might be listening. And if you've never been married, listen. And don't let your eyes and your body parts run your life the rest of your life. Look and say, God, help me see through these things. Is it wrong to marry someone attractive? I'm a huge proponent of that. I did that. You know, do the best you can with the bait you got. You know what I'm saying? But make sure you look on the inward, because that's all. If you're an old person laying there, you can't even reach each other to kiss anything, but you look and your eyes say, I love you, and it comes back your way. And you hear people, not many anymore, been married 31, somebody said today, 40, 50, 60, 65. People married that long, you got to have some game, baby. You're either not living in the same house, or you got to have something big time going on. And kids today need to see that. And kids tomorrow will need to see that, to have some hope that the world hasn't gone baby mama crazy. And that's all you got to do. Just, you know, hook up with somebody and pray the baby's cute and, you know, get you a reality TV show and roll with it, you know. All right, go to another one. Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is not complicated. You say, I don't respect my parents. I don't like my parents. You know what? It doesn't even say that in the fine print. That doesn't matter. Even if you're a Christian kid and your mom and dad are not believers, obey your parents. Unless they're asking you to do something illegal, immoral, unethical, then come, we'll sit down and talk about that. But as much as you can, obey your parents. It's the right thing to do. And if you learn that in a home, you'll have a better shot at life, because you're going to have to transfer your obeying your parents to obeying God. And if you can't take simple instructions from a human being you can see, you're going to have a hard time taking them from a God you can't see when no one's around to stop you. Obey your parents in the Lord. This is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. You say, well, my parents are no model home. They were crazy people. I was glad to escape. Find a way to honor them anyway. It's just biblical. You've got to read the Bible and see what it says and stop making up your own rules and do what it says. Honor your father and mother. You say, I don't know what to do. Pray about it. Read 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 with me really quick. I'll read that one and then one to you out of 1 Peter, and I'm out of verses. 1 Timothy 5:8. Now listen to this. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever, or the King James Version says, an infidel. If you don't provide for your family, now, who do you think he's talking to? Personally, I think he's talking to men. Do I care if women, you know, you got the whole Proverbs 31 woman, she is unbelievable. She's making money, she's turning deals, you know, whatever. Even if a woman makes more than a man, dude, get a job. Go to work. Provide for your family. It's biblical. Well, but we have an arrangement. You know what? Give me a verse on your arrangement. Provide for your own, especially for those of his household. You've denied the faith worse than an unbeliever. The world doesn't get it when they see a man who does not work. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. And we'll shut down with this. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them, talking about with your wife, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, Now, I know some women are stronger than some men, okay, I get that. But overall, women cannot take on a man. It's just a fact. Women are weaker physically, the weaker vessel than a man. That's a great thing, okay? It's a really great thing. So you honor them as the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life. And then look at this last little phrase, that your prayers may not be hindered. Have you ever stopped to think, guys, that there's a chance your prayers are not being answered because you're not taking care of your wife? You're not honoring her. You're not loving on her. You're not being the way you should be. I guarantee you, I'm going to get to heaven and find out some of my prayers were not answered because I did not take care of my wife. I was selfish. I was insensitive. Was not being the man, the husband, the father, whatever I'm supposed to be being. All caught up in me, and that affected my prayers. You don't have to go far to find out why your life's falling apart. Start in your house. Start with yourself. Look around and go, okay, what's going on? Now, this is supposed to be encouraging to you. You may feel like you just got beat up. You know, I am no poster child for all of these things. I don't have some kind of model home. You know, I don't do it all by the book. I don't get it all right. I still struggle with some things. If you want to know, what's really going on in a house, ask the children. People come to me and say, hey, tell me about your marriage, about your life. Say, you know what? I can fill you with all kind of stuff. Go ask my kids. Go ask my wife what's really going on. Don't back off of the truth. Don't be mean about it. Don't push it on somebody. And don't expect someone who doesn't believe to live a Christian life. It's not going to happen. So you start from the inside, you work out. So if you say, well, man, this sounds interesting and my life is not working my way, I do need some help. You're not going to fix your family until you change your heart. And you're not going to get a new heart, a new mind. You're not getting any of that until you enter into a relationship with God and let him change you from the inside out. And it's not going to happen overnight necessarily. It may take some time. But I'm telling you, if you're breathing, there's probably some hope. And let God do his thing and try it his way. You might end up with a model home and be in a place where you can model home for some other people who desperately need to see that it still works.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
All right, Father, thank you so much for your word, for the truth, for the fact that life still works. And we know we live in a fallen world, Lord, and it's getting worse, and it's probably going to get worse. But it doesn't mean the truth changes. So give us sensitivity, wisdom, patience, the courage to speak, Lord, the truth in love and not apologize if we've been apologizing anymore. And even more than speaking words, model a life. Model a home life that when people are around us, come around our kids, around our families, that there's something, there's a savor of life. There is something about even the odor of our homes spiritually that draws someone in and says, wow, I wasn't raised this way or around this. I didn't even know this was possible, but this is what I would have loved to have seen. This is what I want for myself. And the bar gets raised where it's intended to be, Lord. If there's somebody listening today, Lord, who's had enough of having nothing at all. And they would say, God, I admit it. I am fallen. I can't get up. I am a sinner. Everything it says about me is true. I don't get it. I don't even have it. But I need you. I see that now. I am a sinner. I confess that I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus died on that cross, shed his blood, was buried, raised from the dead to purchase a place for me personally in heaven that he's offering as a free gift. I accept the gift of eternal life right now. I accept the forgiveness of my sins as a free gift right now. Come live in me, Holy Spirit. Fill me. Change me from the inside out. Use my life. Change my life. I believe that you were raised from the dead, Lord Jesus. And if you can conquer life and death, then I have nothing to fear. So show me how to live the way you intended. And that somehow the world watching would be drawn to you through my life in my attempt to be who I'm supposed to be and do what I'm supposed to do. Father, we love you, we praise you, we worship you, we trust you, and we pray it all in your name. Amen.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. There's only one reason we do this program: to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to share with someone about the change they've made in your life. And we'd love to hear your story as to how the talks have made a difference to you. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellistalks.com. And while you're there, check out all the fun and informative pages we put together for you, richardellistalks.com. While you're there, be sure to click on the Contribute tab at the top to send your generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.